Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
So Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and we just say thank you that you are so good to us, that you are such a good Father. Lord, we just come before you this morning. We are just going to lay everything at your feet, and we just get to worship you. So let us just focus on you this morning. Let's forget about everything else that's going on, and let's just focus on you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
That I wake up, This is the time when we're going to pray for my three, so let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to pray for the loss. We just intentionally lay out those that we have concerns for and that we are focused upon witnessing to. Lord, we just pray the Holy Spirit will work in their lives and that you will reveal yourself to them and that they will turn to you and just start a relationship with you, Lord. We just pray these things in faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So, joy has been on my mind this week. And often when I think of joy, I think of the emotion, happiness. If you Google joy, the definition of joy is intense and ecstatic happiness. But joy is not just an emotion, especially when we think of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is gladness of heart that comes from knowing God and who he is and abiding in Jesus. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And in Psalms, it says this. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. And so whether we have sorrows and tribulation or, you know, the stresses and burdens of the life, we can still have joy. We can be mourning and still have joy because we have him. So this morning, I implore you to join us this morning as we worship the Lord our God. So in Psalm 95, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our God, of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
By his grace, let the house of the Lord sing praise. to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. It is well.
We say, it is well with you, Father. It is well with you, Father. We give it all to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so hey, I'm Pastor Kerwin. Welcome, church. Welcome if you're listening on the radio. Holy Father, Lord, thank you so much that we can come before you this morning and just worship you. And we get to study your word. So, Father, we just pray that you'd bless our time here and that it would be glorifying unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the last time I spoke, do you guys remember my props that I had up here? A ladder, that's right. No ladders today. No ladders. I got something else, though. Hey, Scott, I'm pretty boomy on this. Can you bring that down a little bit? So we're trying a new lapel. Oh, there you go. So I was telling him, it's like with glasses, that headset microphone, right? It's like a pain in the butt. So we got a new lapel mic. You guys didn't need to hear that. So what we're talking about today is this. Are you battle ready? So there are two types of fighting. Okay, there's two types of battles going on right now. There's a physical battle, and then there's a spiritual battle. So I thought we would talk about the physical battle first. Now, there is a young man, and I say that young, a young man, because he's younger than me. And I'm not seeing him. Where is he? So I'm going to invite Mr. Jeremy Castro to the stage. Come on, give it up for Jeremy. He's a little nervous. And he should be because my physique is more intimidating than his. Right? All right, so I'm talking about the physical battle this morning, right now. Just talking about the physical battle. Now, Jeremy here fights professionally or semi-professionally, and he's very good at what he does. And I thought it would be fun to interview him just a little bit so you can actually learn a little bit more about what we're talking about this morning. So is the mic on? All right.
I think so.
All right, so I told him like, a few weeks ago that I wanted to bring him up and do this, so, and I gave him some questions, so we're good. So, Jeremy, when you are in the battle, the cage, and you're fighting the other person, is that other person your enemy?
For those 15 minutes, I would say yes, you know? I mean, it's all about the competition. I have no ill will personally towards him, but right. I know when that cage door shuts,
I mean,
it's him or me, so the right. plan is it's going to be him.
So so are you hoping to just to pommel this guy or just get a win?
Yeah, I mean, ideally to finish it, but honestly, that's more just because, you know, it's 3 5-minute rounds. 15 minutes is a long time to fight, so that's I'm looking to finish it if at all possible. But again, it's not any ill will. Well, 95% of the time. There's been one or two where I kind of remember one kind of disrespected my dad, and I enjoyed that win, but most of the time it's just... Yeah.
If they disrespect the wife or the dad or the family, it's pound time, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, Jeremy, how did you get actually into MMA fighting?
Well, it definitely all started with wrestling, you know, little promo here right now, and you know, I mean, wrestling is just, it's done so much for me in my life. I think it's awesome. And
do you guys know that Jeremy was a state champion in high school?
Two-time runner-up. I lost to a guy that never lost in high school with 4 state titles, and then another a guy that won 3 state titles. So pretty tough competition. But I was a state finalist twice. Yep.
All right.
Division one, letter winner for 4 years too.
Yeah, so there you go. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah. So that's where it all started for me. And then, honestly, I was just looking, watching TV one night. I don't know if anybody's ever watched a reality show, The Ultimate Fighter. Put 20 crazy guys in a house and have them fight in a tournament, and you just start watching it, you know. And like I said, I've never been in a fight outside the ring in my life, really. But it's just I love to compete, you know. And you start thinking, man, I could probably beat that guy, and I could beat that guy. I found out there was like a world-class MMA gym just a little over an hour away in Bettendorf, Iowa, Miletich Fighting Systems, if anybody's ever been familiar. They were the camp. They were the training camp back in the day. Yeah, so I went to one practice there to check it out. I was hooked. Yep, it was,
nice. Yep. So what's your family think about this? What's Jen feel about, think about this stuff?
Yeah, honestly, they've all been super supportive, all in their own ways. Yeah, I mean, luckily for Jen, we didn't meet until it kind of was tailing off, although she's been to 3 fights that were supposed to be the last one. And I've probably fought 15 times more since we've been together, but I do think it's finally done. You know, her and my mom, even though they don't, I wouldn't say they hate it, that's a strong word, but they're not wild about it, but they know how much it means to me, so they've been really, really supportive of it. And, you know, my dad, he's been in my corner the whole way.
I see we got some Castro team
he's
shirts
got the
over
shirts
there.
On. It's funny.
I'm an extra large if you need. All right.
It's funny those shirts. I had a kind of a manager in the beginning, and you know it was early on in my career. He's like, "Hey, what do you think about me making some Team Castro shirts? You know, sell those, help with your expenses." I'm like, "That's fine, but nobody's gonna want those," you know. And we've sold hundreds. I've just had tremendous support all the way through, and. Yeah, my dad, I've been in the cage 60 times. He's probably missed 3 or 4 over that,
that's
like,
crazy.
17-year career. And 7 different states, I think he's been to every one with
wow.
me. Yeah, we've had some memories. So
that's awesome.
It's been awesome.
So the question everyone wants to hear, have you ever had a broken bone or bruises or injuries from fighting? Everyone wants to know that, right?
I've actually been really fortunate. There's been a couple fights. It's funny that you mentioned Jen, the first fight she ever watched. It was a title fight, so that's 5 5-minute rounds, and obviously really tough competition. And that guy was the better guy that night. You know, went all 5 rounds, though, but my face, I mean, it was something. I had a lot of hematomas when I was shut. I had to get some stitches
don't
afterwards.
Worry, we don't have any pictures.
I almost sent you that one, actually, just to kind of, but you know what, it's crazy. A couple weeks later, you wouldn't even know when I fought. But no, I've had, like, broken rib, broken hand, nothing I ever really had to go to the doctor with other than
broken hand, broken rib.
I just swung with the other hand for a couple weeks, you know, I mean, but I one serious injury, you know, was I did have a detached retina, and that was pretty scary. A lot of that I hear, people that have been around me my whole life know I've had glasses forever, and if you're really nearsighted, I guess you're at big risk, and it just was a lot of trauma over the years, though it wasn't like one hit or anything like that. And yeah, that was scary. And they
keep your hands up.
Yeah, yeah. Keep I mean, they hands. Told me I'd never fight again, and I've probably fought 20 times since. And I do think I'm done now. But
we'll
yeah.
see, right, Jen? We'll see.
She says yes.
All right, so I'm gonna have you stand over here. Okay, so I was gonna title my sermon this morning "Drudge Match Between Me and Jeremy." But what I'm going to do, I'm going to have him pick up the pads here, and I'm going to throw some punches. Now, the nice thing about this right now is that he can't punch back. So I get to punch him, but he doesn't get to punch me back. You guys are all my witnesses, right? On that. So one of my favorite MMA fighters or UFC fighter is Conor McGregor. And he's a southpaw. But I'm right-handed, so what he would do a lot is he would keep his arm out here, and he would just jab at his opponents. He would just jab, 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 jab. That's all. I mean, he had so much power going from this angle to that. He was, like, unstoppable, and he tormented his people that he was fighting against. So I'm going to do some jabbing here on Jeremy. Remember, no hit back. We haven't practiced this. Okay? So I'm gonna just jab, 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 and then I'm gonna cross. All right? So jab, 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 cross. All right? So we're gonna jab, 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 cross. All right? Just give me a minute. Okay, so I'm not good. But there's someone that Jeremy's been training. Would you like to see that guy?
Yeah.
Play the cue. Turn it up. All right, so this is Christian. This is Jeremy's son. And I asked him, are you excited about beating up on your dad today? And he's like, oh yeah. So they're going to go through, do you want to keep your robe on, Stallion, or do you want to take it off? You want to take the robe off? Yeah. The Black Stallion. How many of you are fans of Rocky? Come on. So they're going to go through a couple of some training exercises. So he's going to be doing some combination hitting. No kicking, though, right?
No kicking
today. He doesn't have his shin pads on. So this is what they would normally do, like, in a little practice, okay? All right, so face your dad. Give him the growl. You guys feel that power?
Yeah.
I didn't get that when I hit. All right. Okay. Some counter. I'm sweating just watching that. A little bit more? So obviously he's been doing it. They've been training together for a while. You can tell that they've been training. And these boys got some power. You guys have any other shots you want to take? You guys see that?
I like to hold the phone technique. It's a counter in the hook.
Hold the phone. Nice. Come on. All right, give him a hand. So I mentioned, that was a physical battle, but we also, as Christians, we have a spiritual battle that we're going through, all right? So, just like Jeremy trains, I forgot to ask him how many hours a week he trains. I should train more, probably. But it says in this, if you read on the screen, Ephesians 6:12, it says this, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Paul, when he wrote this, he's not saying that we're fighting against physical beings. We're fighting against flesh and blood enemies. They're not flesh and blood. So I want to say this, if you think that your enemy is the government, that's not your enemy. If you think that the Supreme Court is your enemy, that's not the enemy. Our battle is not physical, It is a spiritual warfare. As we continue to look at this, let's go to 1 Peter 5, 6, and 9. It says this: "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are." Peter is saying, be ready. Be alert. Know who your enemy is. Which brings me to point number one. Point number one, I'm going to have 3 points. Realize that you have an enemy, and it's not who you think it is. Your enemy is not the banker who holds the mortgage to your home. The enemy is not a coworker or your boss. Okay? If you think so, you are mistaken. Your enemy is not that out-of-control neighbor who starts his Harley at 4 a.m. All right? The enemy is not flesh and blood. Remember, it says back in verse 12, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood." Right? We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Number two, the enemy will attack you where you are the most vulnerable. Yeah. The enemy, he's not, let me make sure you understand this. Satan is not this red-faced hooves and pitchfork and horns. He's much, much, much worse. But he will attack you where you are the most vulnerable. What am I talking about that? Well, let me tell you about how to trap a monkey. All right? I have a point. No, I just want to say, I want to teach you how to trap a monkey. So, trapping a monkey, this is how you do this. You take a coconut, you drill a hole out of it, and then you scoop as much stuff out of the coconut as possible. You scoop as much stuff out as possible. You attach it with a chain to a tree. So now you have a hollowed out coconut attached to with a chain to a tree. The trapper will put something sweet in that coconut. The trapper will put something maybe colorful in that coconut. Maybe the trapper will throw something, some candy in there. It'll be good. Well, let me tell you about monkeys. They are very, very, very greedy. When that monkey puts his hand in that coconut, the hand goes in kind of small. That monkey grabs whatever object is in that coconut and now can't pull their hand out because now their fist is too big for the hole. Why am I telling you this? Because the enemy loves to remind you of what you're holding on to. There's been times in my life where I'm the monkey. There's probably a few of you here that probably feel like that monkey, where you're holding on to something so tight that if you would just let go of that object, you would be free. But you're holding on to something. I don't know your stories, but maybe you had a bad childhood. It happens. Maybe you are holding on to anger. Maybe you are holding on to bitterness. Maybe you are holding on to unforgiveness. But whatever you're holding on to, you're not free. Your hand is still in that coconut, being trapped. There's a story that I love to share. Let me back up real quick here. So when you have those struggles, when you have the problem with that, this is why I'm a big component of the local church. And if you're listening by radio or live stream, this is not a perfect church. The churches that I've been in, they're not a perfect church. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. But if you have something from your past that's holding on, that you're holding on to, that you just cannot get rid of, then you need to find someone that you trust, that you need to find someone that is willing to stand next to you. Just like Jeremy, he had, I think if you pull up this picture, in the ring, is that your brother? Even when you have a physical battle, you got to have help. It's just like that in the spiritual battle. You have to have help. Now, if I know Ryan anyway, he's probably saying, suck it up, Sally. Right, Ashley? I mean, that's probably something he would say. But he gets help. You can take that slide down. I don't want to anyone to get, you know. But anyway, let me tell you this story. Yeah, seek help. Find someone that you can trust, and they will walk alongside you. I think of this story of Bill Johnson tells this. When he does a message out at Bethel in Redding, California, he'll have people come forward after his sermon, and he'll say, does anyone need some healing? Does anyone need the touch, you know? Does anyone need to be prayed for? And if this is you, I would love to pray with you after this service this morning. But anyway, a young lady comes forward, and she has got her fist like this, and she's got her arms like this, and she is almost walking like a robot, very stiff-legged, and she comes forward, and Bill asks her, what happened? Why are you, how can I pray for you? And she says this, I was abused at a very young age by my parents. And so, okay. So Bill says, okay, well, let's pray for a release on that. So Bill put his hand on her shoulder, and as he began to pray, her arms started coming down like this. Her hands started opening up out of the fists. He could feel through the touch of the shoulder that she was just kind of like feeling released. So he gets done praying for her, and he comes around to the front of her and says, well, how do you feel? And this young lady says, I feel great, but I'm so angry. And instantly, just like that, she immediately went back like this, and tense, and fists, because she hadn't let go. She hadn't been able to forgive her parents. And so she's stuck like this until she can let go. Just like that monkey in the trap. You have to let go if you want freedom. So, point number one, realize that you have an enemy and it's not who you are. Point number two, the enemy will attack you in your most vulnerable spot. Number three, the enemy despises your worship of God. Your enemy despises. Last week, we sang a couple of songs. And this is kind of leading up to this. One of the songs that we sang last week was called Battle Belongs. It goes like this, verse 1. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. The chorus goes like this. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. We sang that song last week. Another song that we sang last week is called Raise a Hallelujah. And it goes like this, verse 1. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is my melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. And then the chorus goes like this. I'm gonna sing in the middle of a storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the king is alive. I mean, if those songs don't get you jacked up, check your pulse. So let me share this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We don't have a couple of slides here, so let me just read a little bit of for you. King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, is surrounded by three major armies. And he knows he's in despair. I mean, he is like, we got no chance. He cries out to God. You know, the God who brought us out of bondage and set us free, the one who promised to give them fertile land and who would drive the enemy out and protect his own. He says this from a prophet. A prophet is saying this to King Jehoshaphat. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascents of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed down with his low to with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Now this is what's on the screen here. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. Verse 21 says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. They sang this, give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against the allies from Mount Seir and killed every single one of them. After they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. They won a battle without lifting a spear or a sword. It's kind of interesting that they had singers. Angie, you're a singer. Would you go in front of an army if the Lord said so? Maybe they wanted to sacrifice the singers. I don't know. You know, whoever goes in first to battle gets killed first. I'm going to hear about that one later. But they worshiped the Lord, and they didn't even have to lift a spear or a sword. So with that said, I'm actually going to ask the worship team to come forward. When you find yourself dealing with the enemy, here are just a couple of things I want you guys to remember for this morning before we wrap it up. When you find yourself dealing with the enemy, take these steps. Number one, and there's a picture for this. Before you consider throwing the first punch, spend time praising God. Turn those prayers of complaining into prayers of praise and see what God will do. Praise God for defeating the enemy before it even begins. So those of you that go to work tomorrow morning, Monday is always the worst thing. It's after the weekend and, you know, you've had a great weekend doing fun things, and now you're like, oh, I got to go back to work tomorrow morning. Spend time before you go in the Word. Listen to worship music. Whatever you can do that you can praise God before your enemy even gets a hold of you. Remember, your coworkers and your boss are not your enemies. They're just people you might not like. But they're not your enemy. Get into Scripture. Jeremy trains for hours at a time. Hours. We need to be in Scripture daily. You know, we've made it really easy. If you have a bulletin, we're reading through the Bible in 1 year. And in the bulletin are the books that we're reading right now and the Psalms that we're reading. All you have to do is start today. If you haven't been doing it since January, start today. It's okay. You won't be judged. And it's right there in your bulletin. You can even, if you're like me, I like to check things off. So take the bulletin, read through the Scripture, and then just check it off. We want you to be in Scripture. Don't take Tim's word for it. Don't take my word for it. Get into Scripture for yourself. And then the last thing is this. We stand against the enemy, unstoppable and undefeated. Just like this next picture, we stand in praise of our mighty God. You are undefeated, and He's raising your hand because you are victorious. Who wants to be victorious this morning? I do. If I took on Jeremy, I would not be victorious. But I can be victorious in this, in my spiritual battle. Because that's what we're really fighting against this morning. That's what we're really fighting against out there in our jobs, our family. It's a spiritual battle. So, let's pray. So, Father, we come before you this morning and we just say thank you that we can give all of our cares to you this morning, that we can lay everything at your feet, and that we're going to let you fight our battles. We're going to let you fight our battles. Thank you, Father, that you are so good to us. You are so good to us. So we thank you, Father, that we can just come before you. It's all yours. Let's worship. Stand. Aren't you glad that he's a good, good father? thank you so much for coming this morning. I'm going to leave you with one blessing. This is one of my favorite blessings. It says this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace this day forevermore. May you have peace this week. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.